I was walking around and I asked God, what's the anointing on today? And what he said is, my anointing's in the air. And we're in for an amazing day. The anointing is amazing. I had an incredible encounter on the plane coming over here, like no other encounter I've ever had before. It was just incredible. We were right halfway between Australia and New Zealand, and I was reading a book by a good friend of ours, and he talked in this book about a number of things, and there was an activation at the end of each chapter, and he was talking about receiving a prophetic word some time ago, quite many years ago, in about 1994. And it was an outrageous prophetic word, like, this could never happen. And so he said to God, is this for real? And God said to him, yes, it is, and someone's going to confirm it. And he did. He gave him that word, word for word. And so I thought, oh, it sounds like a good activation. So I recalled a prophetic word that I had received. And I said, Lord, is this prophetic word for real? Well, I shivered and shook for about the next 5 minutes. Pauline thought I was having a heart attack. And Holy Spirit just came and just touched me so powerfully. And I thought, we're in for an amazing weekend. We're in for a really amazing weekend. I want you to believe that. We're in for an amazing weekend. We came out of a really difficult situation where we felt like the enemy had tried to absolutely shut us down. And so we knew then that God was up to something, and then that happened on the plane. And then what about the rain this morning? Yeah. Eh? You know, have you come out of a dry and thirsty place? Yeah. Hey? You know, when you look at when there's been a drought on, and the grass sort of browns, the plants, they don't exactly wither, but they really struggle. You know, they poke up through the soil and they wilt and they limp and the flowers don't come. And I suspect and I suggest that some of you feel like that today. And it's time for, just like the rain has come, it's time for a refreshing today. Eh? Are you up for that? It's time for a refreshing today. So we're going to declare that the drought is over. The rain, R-A-I-N, and the rain, R-E-I-G-N, of His Spirit is here upon us. Hey? So that's by way of introduction.
One of my favourite verses is, how great is the Father's love? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we would be called the children of God? And I always loved that word, lavished. And I looked it up in the dictionary to find out what it really means. And it comes from a French word, lavasse, which means a downpour of rain. And I thought this morning, God is lavishing His love in this downpour of rain today.
Pauline, while I keep talking, can you just find the notes on there? I think it's in iBooks, but I'm not sure. So, this morning, or today, it's about, the subject is the Father's love. And we're going to cover four subjects. The first one is the loving Father and Father types, which I'll be bringing. Then the second one will be the power of forgiveness. The third one will be the nurturing heart of God, which Pauline will do both of those, forgiveness and the nurturing heart of God. And then the final one will be the spirit of sonship, moving from slaves to sons, okay? What's going to happen during today is that God's going to actually really speak to your heart. And He's going to bring to mind stuff that you've long forgotten, that's affected your life from when it happened to today. And when He brings it to your mind, it's Holy Spirit saying, it's time to deal. It's time to give this up. It's time to let me in. And when you do, you walk in freedom. You'll never be the same again. You'll never be the same again. The Father's love, which I'll say more than once today, the Father's love changes everything. And for all of us in this room, you know, we met Jesus. Ah, what a life-changing event that was in our lives. When he came in and he forgave us our sins, gave us a new life. Right? Most of you will remember the day. And then somewhere along the line you encountered Holy Spirit. And if you were like me, your life was turned upside down. You were never the same again. Some people became very radical. Some people became fearless. Some people did strange things. But Holy Spirit empowered you and equipped you to be what he wanted you to be. So that was good. We met Jesus. We met Holy Spirit. We encountered Holy Spirit. But a lot of people haven't met the Father. And when we say Father, it brings up all sorts. For many people, if we say Father, it brings up awful memories, hurts, pain, emotions. And so we've seen our Heavenly Father through the eyes of our own fathers. And today, we want to unlock that so that you can encounter Heavenly Father, Daddy, Papa. And when that happens, it comes by way of revelation. It's not here, it's here. And impartation. And some of you, of course, have had that already. You've had a revelation of the Father's love. But a lot of you won't have up to today. And when you do, it will change your life forever. He is the kindest person. Papa is the kindest person you could ever meet. He's amazing. And he thinks you're amazing. For the women, he thinks you're the most gorgeous person he's ever met. Yeah. He's besotted by you. And for the men, you're just handsome dudes in his eyes. He thinks you're amazing. And he loves you so much. So good. Isn't that great? Handsome dude. He loves you so much, just the way you are. But he loves you just that much that he doesn't want you to stay the way you are. He wants you to walk in your destiny. So that's a little kind of overview of what we're going to do today. So first question, who would like to be like their dad? Keep your hands up, please. I'm going to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. 21. How many people are here? 21. So it's about a little less than a third. It's interesting, isn't it? A little less than a third. Who would like to be like their mum? Got about seven out of 62. Would that indicate to you that there might have been a problem? There might just have been a problem. Just a little bit, eh? So that's what we'd like to unravel today. So I need a couple of volunteers. I think Clive could be a volunteer, and is it Chris? Chris, would you like to be a volunteer? No, just come out here. It's not painful. Pauline? Come on, Clive. Clive, if you'd stand there for me. Now Clive is Clive's dad, our earthly dad. Okay?
Yeah.
Is that all right? You could handle that?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. You don't have to say anything. And Chris is God, our heavenly Papa. So is in a very elevated position. You don't have to say anything either. So what I'd like you to do, we're going to talk about, just briefly, the attributes of our dads. What was our dad like? Good or bad? And then we'll talk about the attributes of God. And Pauline's got some stickers here. And as you yell out a word, she's going to write it up and stick it on. Stick it on Clive. So, what was your dad like? Kind. Do a few of them, then we'll stick them on. Was that reliable? Okay. Hardworking. Honest. Good provider. Sarcastic. Absent. Loving. Angry. Happy. I think we got, did we get loyal? Loyal, yeah. Funny. Shut down. Shut down. Generous. Another one up there. He loved you. Yeah, could you stick them on? Stick it on. What was that? Dependable. Caring. Kept his word. The boss. The boss. Gentle. Gentle. What was that one? Patient. Faithful. Honest. We've got too many good ones. Unfaithful. New Zealand fathers are obviously much better than Aussie fathers. Regimented, evil. Any more? Religious, critical, good role model, angry. I think we might have got that one. Performance orientated, alcoholic. Unstable. And we got that one. Couple more. Stubborn. Uncaring. Two more. Humble. Sorry. Oh, disciplinarian. Disciplinarian. Can you spell that, Pauline? Okay, that'll do. Passive aggressive. That'll do us, I think.
More space to put it on.
You can put it on his back. Up, you can put it on his back. Okay, so our earthly fathers, normally I'd have to say from past experience doing this many times, it never looks like this. It's usually all the negative stuff. Seldom get good words about dads. Get a few, but not many. It's usually pretty bad. So, like I say, New Zealand dads must be a whole lot better than Aussie dads. But I don't think they are. I think you're very kind. Being kind to Clive, yeah. So we've got hardworking, honest, reliable, funny, sarcastic, absent, shut down, unfaithful, patient, honest, role model, alcoholic, gentle, loving, kept his word, kind, the boss, dependable, loyal, regimented, critical, religion, performance-oriented, stubborn, uncaring, humble, disciplinarian, passive-aggressive. It's kind of a bit of a mixture, isn't he? Yeah. So, now, can I get you, Chris, to stand up? Can you change places now? Stand here, Pauline. So, attributes of God. Go for it. Loving. Kind. Faithful. Patient. There's one over there somewhere. Trustworthy. One sec. What was that one? Never changing. Awesome.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Steadfast.
Gentleman.
Solid.
Solid.
Powerful.
Just one sec. Did you get gentleman, Pauline? Yeah. Solid? Yeah. Okay.
Light and
life. What was it? Light and your life. I can't catch it.
Light
and
your life.
No,
okay.
Light in your life.
Understanding.
Amazing.
Forgiving.
There all the time. Gentle. Very patient.
My refuge.
Your refuge.
Supportive.
Supportive.
On time.
Never late. Very, very different to most churches, including ours. Happy.
Omniscient.
Always. Ear to listen.
Fun.
God's fun. Ears. Grace.
Yeah.
Compassionate.
Sense of humor.
Fun. Healer. Merciful. You said something there, sir.
Daddy.
He is. Unconditional. Always there.
Sneaky.
Jehovah Sneaky. He's a teacher. He's a great provider. Jehovah Jireh.
Protector.
Yeah, we got that one. Yeah.
Fear.
Healer, you got that one?
Fear.
Sorry?
Fear. F-A-I-R.
Oh, fear. Yeah. Sounded like fear to me. That's my Aussie ears. Invincible. One more.
Just.
Okay, we'll call it a day there. So he's pretty amazing, isn't he? So the only problem is that most of us don't really know him. We know about him because we can say all those things. So we know a lot about him. But do we know him? So that's really what today's about. So he's faithful, he's awesome, he's just, he's invincible, he's sneaky, he's a protector, he's our refuge, he's always on time, he's never late, he's gentle and supportive, there's grace, he's compassionate, he's our healer, he has a sense of humour, he's our daddy, he's a great provider, he's fair, he's always there, forgiving, happy, listening, steadfast, powerful, loving, kind and patient. Wow, what an amazing God we have, eh? Isn't that incredible? Yeah. Well, thank you. You're welcome to keep those on as a badge of honour. Oh, that's right. Okay, sorry. If you stand in front of...
I stand in front. The other way.
Yeah. So, just come here. So this is what, when we, the purpose of this exercise is most of us see God through these eyes. Okay? Through our dads. And most times we do this, there are many more negatives than positives. So we see God through our dads. But then if you'll just stand behind Chris, the object of the exercise is to know him so well that that's who we see. See our heavenly Papa. You get that? Okay. Well, thank you, gentlemen. You can wear the badge of honour for a while if you like. Yeah. You'll be in the next Catch the Fire newsletter. Okay, we're doing okay? So, I want to talk now about the loving nature of the Father and Father types. And like I said before, as we speak this morning, the Lord is going to remind you of stuff. And he's going to bring stuff to mind that you've long forgotten. And I'm going to encourage you today, as that happens, to deal with it. If tears come, you know, that's Holy Spirit. He so wants you to walk in freedom. He so wants you to walk in your destiny. He so wants to give you everything you were created to be and to do. That's his objective. That's his goal. And that's an evidence of his great love for you, that you might walk in your destiny. So today is like an unpacking of stuff so that you can do that. Okay? So God is desperate to meet us and to pour out his love upon us. You know, there's a song that Michael W. Smith sings, you know, says, I'm desperate for you. We're singing that to God. I'm desperate for you. And God is actually singing back and saying, yeah, but I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. I really want your company. I really want to spend time with you. I really want to be in your presence. I really want your attention. That's Papa saying that to us. He's desperate for our company, and he will go to almost any length to be in relationship with us. Isn't that amazing? And the ultimate expression of his love was giving of his son Jesus. And you all know the scripture that says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The Passion Translation, who's familiar with the Passion Translation? Brian Simmons. Can I encourage you to get a hold of the Passion Translation as Brian writes the books? It's gone back to the original Aramaic, Greek and Hebrew, and kind of written it in a way that comes alive in our culture. And so he said this about that verse, for this is how much God loved the world. He gave his uniquely conceived son as a gift, so that everyone who believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. And the amazing thing is that he does this before we do anything for him. Before we get our lives cleaned up. Before we even agree that we need him. He does that for us. In fact, God loved us while we were against him. How many in this room had a period in their life when they didn't want God? They were against him. Don't give me that God stuff. And he still loved us. He was still desperate for us. And he went after us. And we're in this room because He found us. And so he loved us while we were against him, while we were ignored him, and while we were in rebellion. 1 John 4:10-19 in the Message says, this is the kind of love that we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. First, we were loved. Now we love, but he loved us first. He stepped out. He looked for us. He went after us. He never gave up, and he found us. So he wants us to experience the Father's love. It's not about knowing the Father's love. The knowing comes from the experience. The knowing comes from the encounter. So the key word is experience or encounter. Because love without experience is not really love at all. For example, if you're married, speaking to the men, if you're married and you never kiss your wife, caress her, tell her that you love her, give her presents or love notes, then it really isn't love. If she never experiences your love, it's not love. They are just words. Paul says in Ephesians 3, in the Passion Translation, then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. Just catch that. Released deep inside of you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. Then, as your spiritual strength increases, you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences. The great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love. Beyond measurement, beyond academic knowledge, this extravagant love, this outrageous love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness. Wow, the fullness of God. Don't we all want that? Imagine taking that out into the supermarket. God longs for us to experience his love like that. But how does it happen? Paul says in Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So Paul goes on to say that Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. This is the demonstration of it. Oh, by the way, would all the sinners in the room please stand up? Oh, you foolish Galatians. For by grace have we been saved through faith. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. You're not sinners, you're sons, guys. You're not sinners. You're not sinners. You were sinners. I just want to remind you of who you are today. You're not sinners. You are sons of the Most High God who gave Jesus for you so that you wouldn't be sinners anymore. And he lives in you. And you live in him. And where are we seated? In him, in heavenly places. And where's Jesus seated? At the right hand of the Father. Where are you seated? So would all the sinners in the room please stand up? Your sons, guys. You got it? The religious people want you to know that you're sinners. A heavenly Papa wants you to know that you're his sons. And he loves you. And he'll do anything for you. And he'll fill you with everything he has and everything you need. Because our world out there needs that. And he uses people like you and me to tell them and to show them. Well, that's a digression. Couldn't help myself. So Paul goes on to say that while we were sinners, he died for us. And this was a demonstration of his love. But we also experience his love poured out. There's a poured out manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And there's a multitude of ways that he demonstrates and allows us to experience his love. Who does journaling here? Anyone do journaling? Okay. So through the Holy Spirit, we connect with him in journaling. How many are blessed by their journaling? Isn't it amazing that God would speak to us like that? And we hear his words of approval and affirmation and sometimes direction. We see his smile. We see his hand opening the doors of opportunities. He gives us unexpected gifts and provides for our needs. And we can be impacted deeply through worship or in a fresh understanding of the sacrifice of Jesus. And we have experiences of liquid love or divine warmth flooding our bodies like halfway between Australia and New Zealand on Thursday. Just a download of his love. That's what he's like. Wow. Each time I talk about it, I can feel it again. Just a download of his love. Just take a big breath because he's in the room. He's in the air. He pours out his love through the Holy Spirit in endless ways. And when we experience the Father's love, there is a change that occurs on the inside of us. We become secure. Our hearts are at rest. Our identities are established. And we live in a place of sonship rather than serving. We live in a place of sonship rather than serving. We'll unpack that a lot today. 1 John 3, 1 says, behold, listen, can you hear me? How great a love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children or sons of God. So we come to that place. We come to that place of knowing that we're the children of God. We come to the place of receiving the revelation that we are God's sons and daughters through the work of the Holy Spirit so that we can cry out, Abba Father, Daddy, Papa. That's the kind of relationship he wants us to have. Religious people can't handle that. Religious people in the room are judging me now for calling God Daddy. He's my dad. He's the most amazing Papa you can ever have. You can sit on his knee and he'll give you a hug. You can go to him as a place of refuge and comfort sit on his knee and he'll hug you. Daddy, Abba, Papa. The world needs Papa. We need Papa. It's gone very quiet. We need Papa. We need Papa, don't we, Lynette? Hey? We need Papa. We need Papa. Shh. See, it's just like turning on a tap. It's good, isn't it? His love is tangible. It's the anointing. It's not me. It's him. You don't mind if we have a bit of fun, do you? See, he brings joy. We are so serious about life. He brings joy. Someone said he has a sense of humor. He brings great joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And for years and years and years, I read that my joy for him is my strength. It doesn't say that at all. It's his joy for you. That's your strength. His joy for you. He is overjoyed for you. He is overjoyed to be with you. He is overjoyed about you. He's overjoyed to be in your company. He's desperate for you. And he's overjoyed to be there. Papa, Abba. Daddy. Say that after me. Papa. Daddy. Abba. Abba. Papa. Daddy. So when we get that revelation and the joy comes, when we get that revelation, it spreads out around us. Spreads out around us. And our families are affected. Do you remember that song, The Power of His Love? Well, that's what we're experiencing today. Power of His Love. When the joy is released, it's like a drug. When the joy is released, it's like God unlocks something within us that's been locked up for a long time. Wow. You know, sadness goes, grief goes, sorrow goes, betrayal goes, rejection goes, fear goes. Like he unlocks. Wow, just take it, guys. He's unlocking. Some of us hadn't had a good laugh for a long time. But it's a laughter of release. It's a laughter of healing. Like pain goes, sorrow goes. Yeah, he's a God of fun. He's a God of laughter. He has a sense of humour. And he knows which buttons to press to bring you to life. So today I declare life over every one of you. Life. Life. Freedom. I declare life over you today. Life. No more of the old stuff. Life. Father's in the house. Father's in the house. Get him, God. Father's in the house. So the problem is, in your nation and in mine, that we're really a fatherless generation. And many people find it hard to believe that God loves us, let alone enter into an experience of his love. Settle down. Shall we have morning tea? No, I'm kidding. So in the West, we're literally a fatherless generation. Through divorce, through self-seeking fathers, and by fathers being absent from homes. In many nations, fatherlessness is absolutely rampant due to war, ethnic cleansing, promiscuity. And in the East, wives and children are treated as things, as chattels, and property to be used and abused. And you read this in the newspaper every day now. So sad. Whole cultures condition people to subject their own desires to the good of the family, the clan, and they give no room for individual dreams or hopes. Yet a father is more than a biological act. A father is the person we get our significance from. Our father is the person we get our significance from. One more time. Our father is the person we get our significance from. Many of us, even though outwardly successful, struggle in our hearts with questions of identity, value, and belonging. What can we do? Who are we? How can we fit in? And a lot has to do with the fact that our father never helped us to discover what we can do and who we were meant to be. Now, as a pastor, and I'll say more about this tomorrow, as a pastor, we meet many people who don't know what their identity is. Many of them are a pastor's nightmare. But if we can recognise why they're the nightmare, we can bring the Father's love. And they can walk in their destiny. And all their behavioural issues are healed. And they're restored to the identity of the person they were created to be. So rather than judge them and put them down, say, oh, not them again. Yeah, we can see them through God's eyes, through Papa's eyes, and say, I know what the problem is. And we can bring healing and wholeness and restoration. So that's the joy of the pastor, to take broken people and see them healed, see broken people restored, and then walk in their destiny. So the father's role, as I said, is to give identity, significance. And the actual role is to give a lens, a proper lens, for us to see our Heavenly Father. That's their role, to give us a proper lens to see our Heavenly Father. So listen to this quote from an internet site called Father Development Net. I'll just read this to you. The relationship we had with our fathers was the beginning of all relationships with men. He was the first man we knew. He set the tone for all the men who would come into our lives. And he delivered a deep message about who we were to him and consequently who we were to the world. Our dads were a major force in determining our self-esteem, and for good reason. The father-child relationship starts with the child's earliest, most primitive feelings from dad and expands from there to sophisticated thoughts, feelings, interactions and behaviours. And though these often continue on into adulthood and even to parenthood, many of us as adults no longer recognise our feelings and behaviours as connected to our fathers. But the truth is, whether we recognise it or not, our fathers have had a strong voice in how we view ourselves in everything from relationships to job performance. A father who treats his child like royalty, loving and honouring and making a special place in the world, is teaching that child to do the same for themselves. A father who treats the child like dirt is teaching the child to expect the same from the world. These lessons of self-worth go deep within us, and most of us continue to believe and follow our father's message long after we leave our father's house. Bells are ringing, aren't they? Bells are ringing now. Each person's own experience with human authority, especially with their dad, is usually transferred over to how they relate to God. If we had a good experience, then it's often easier to get closer to knowing and understanding God and who He is. If we had a bad experience, then it often distorts our image of God and affects the way we relate to Him. Being a father is no easy task. So please don't feel that I'm trying to criticise your father. But our own situation with our earthly fathers has caused us to have a distorted understanding of God as Father. We often unconsciously project our understanding of Father from what our earthly experience... We often unconsciously project our understanding of Father from what was our earthly experience onto our Father in heaven. For many, it can take a lifetime to discover how nice God is. How nice He is. God is not like the big policeman in the sky, ready to whack us over the head if we do anything wrong. And so for many of us, we've grown up with, well, Jesus is really nice. I really like Him. He's my Saviour. He's saved me from my past. He's forgiven me. I love Jesus. He's wonderful. Holy Spirit, well, yes, just be careful. He's all right. But, don't go overboard now. But God, ooh, I've got to look out for God like He might whack me. I might step out of line. He might whack me. A lot of people feel like that. He's the kindest, most amazing, most outrageously loving person you can ever meet. Here. Not here. We have to meet Him here. Okay. So there are blockages for us to be able to receive the Father's love. And the blockages mostly come through our father experiences, throughout the types of fathers that we had. And so I want to deal with about six of those today. Different types of fathers, what they were like, what that meant for you, what that meant for your understanding of who God is, and how you ended up the way you are. Then when we've done that, we're going to pray some prayers together. We're going to actually forgive our dads. We're going to release our dads. We're going to take our judgments off our dads. And we're going to walk with a heavenly Papa and have a revelation of His love. Okay? That's the objective of what we're going to do now. So the first father I want to talk about is the absent father. And this father was just not home, not present, due to death, divorce, long hours of work, a high travel schedule, abandonment, or he was just never there for one reason or another. So if that was your father, then most likely the result is feelings of neglect, rejection, and abandonment. Neglect, rejection, and abandonment. So in terms of our relationship with God, you may feel that God is very distant and very uninvolved in your life. And you might feel that you can only love God intermittently, you know, from time to time. And you may feel that you have to make your own way in the world and that God won't come through for you. Just like your dad, he was either not there at all or there very seldom, and he was totally unreliable, and I don't think he'll ever come through for me. That's the way we could see God. You know, I know he's there somewhere, but I don't think he's going to come through for me. And so there may be a deep sense of guilt and a striving for love and approval. And furthermore, there may be a sense that if I get too close to God, he may abandon me. So I can't risk it. I'd like to, but I can't really risk that. So I just want you to think about that for a minute. Was your dad like that? We're going to pray a prayer in a while and deal with that. Was your dad like that? Was he an absent father? Either never there at all or there very seldom. The next one is the passive father. There are many fathers like this. He's a type of father who's not responsive. He's not involved. He's not active. And it's very difficult to get his attention. He's often hidden behind a book or a newspaper, or he's looking at his computer, or he's playing a game, or he's looking at TV. But he's there, but he's not there. And he rarely gives affection. He rarely initiates, and he rarely pursues you. He's unemotional and withdrawn. And he's rarely able to share joy or grief. It's like he's just shut down. It doesn't mean that your father doesn't feel anything or that he even considered you unimportant. It's just that he found it really hard to express it. It just wasn't in him. And for those of us my age whose dads came back from the Second World War, that's how they came back. They'd seen so much stuff they couldn't, wouldn't, or weren't allowed to talk about. They just shut down. And so my generation is a result of all of that. And if we're not careful, we've passed it on to the next generation. And so we've got all these father issues in our nations, Australia and New Zealand. Wow. God, just download this to us today. Holy Spirit, just come and bring healing to these hurt areas in our lives. Thank you, Papa. So we've got generations of people that carry all this pain. And he wants to heal that. He wants to show you that even though that was the way your dad was, Papa's not like that. He's just not like that. So as a result of having a dad like that, we felt it very hard to get close to him. And so that can also cause hidden anger, because you weren't given the love you rightfully needed. You weren't given that. And so it can also help us, cause us to have difficulty in getting in touch with our emotions and resolving problems. And then as a result of that, there is an inability to experience intimacy in relationships. Intimacy with God seems blocked, and it's difficult to sense his presence. There's a difficulty in receiving love from the Father. And because a passive father doesn't protect his child, we also may feel that God won't protect us. You know, we're on our own. We've got to make it, regardless. So it may feel like we're on our own and we have to initiate and pursue God. And this is hard work. It's hard work and may contribute to despondency and depression and feeling that you're not good enough. I never get there. And we may strive to gain his attention. Now this manifests in a church where people do a whole lot of stuff they're not gifted for. It's like, pick me, pick me, pick me. Striving for attention. And there's this deep inner pain going right back to their childhood where they were never acknowledged. They were never affirmed. They were never loved. They were never hugged. They were never cuddled. Dad or mum didn't ever tell them, I love you. And so they strive for attention. And many will begin to look for love in all the wrong places, just desperate to be affirmed and loved. And the news is that Papa, he just wants to love on you today. He wants to give you a big hug, put you on his knee, so very safe, and tell you that he loves you. So the absent father, the passive father, the performance-oriented father. Some of you will identify with this one. This father has high standards. He's not tempered by enough love or nurture or affection. He points to faults and failures to motivate us. Our strengths and successes are seldom affirmed. If you got a B in an exam and 9 A's, he'll point out the B. Why didn't you get an A? If you got 99% in your exam, why didn't you get 100? If you came second in the race, why didn't you come first? Always looking for the negative, never affirming the positive. Always pointing out performance, wanting you to, his motivation was, I want my kid to be the best. Well, that's fine. But his motivation was misguided and misdirected. And so we always felt a failure. We never met his expectations. So love and affirmation is expressed only when we perform well in things like school, sport, religion, appearance, or whatever. In religious households that most of us will have come from, truth is valued above love. Truth is valued above love. And you feel like you can never get anything right. So this can lead to fear of failure. Feeling that you have to earn the Father's love. You have to earn it. You feel like you can never live up to God's standards. And you're never good enough in God's eyes. So this leads to working harder. To an ever-increasing obsession with working harder and getting success in every possible area of our life. So people like that, they don't often rest. They work, 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 work. And In a spiritual sense, they work so hard and there's often a sense of super spirituality in their lives. And they wear it like a mask to hide all the pain on the inside. They work so hard and they look good and they're doing. But on the inside, they're dying on the inside. So much pain. Now, as a result of that, burnout and despondency and depression may often follow this. Like the body can only do so much. Papa never meant it to be like that. He meant us to rest and have joy and give us his joy. That's his idea. But because of our life's experiences, we feel we have to perform. We have to look good. We have to say all the spiritual things. We must have our opinion heard because it's important. We must bring that prophetic word because those people need to hear it. And often it's a rubbish prophetic word. Sorry. It's a rubbish prophetic word, but it's coming out of so much pain. And we feel better when we deliver it. But it wasn't God. It was pain speaking. It was pain. So it's been said that most people who suffer depression had at least one performance-oriented parent. They were kind of driven by one of their parents. So some of you may identify with that one. The next one is the authoritarian father. This father is a strict legalist who lives by the rules. He has a little ability to express intimacy or to express love. But the rules are really important. Obedience is valued over relationship and truth above love. Approval comes by obeying written and unwritten rules. Internally, this translates into a belief that love and obedience are intertwined. This can result in a deep anger that quenches the spirit of the person, leading to a crushed and heavy heart. Now, I grew up with a family where Dad was a legalist. I think they had 5 kids. And I've got to tell you, there was no fun in that place. It was a sad place. I had to live by the rules. And if they stepped out of line, there was big trouble. Kids, I mean, are they going to... They're always going to step out of line. So there was no joy in that family. And they went to our church and the whole family would take up one pew in our little Baptist church. And they had to sit in line and kind of line up and sit straight and be unflinching for the entire hour. Father was a legalist. You know, one's in jail, he's a pedophile. One had a nervous breakdown. All the marriages fell apart. Like, what a foundation for a great life. Our papa didn't. That wasn't his idea. We were made for love. We were made to be loved, and we were made to love. So that kind of environment can result in deep anger that quenches the spirit of the person, leaving to a crushed and heavy heart. I've said that. It can also lead to a loss of motivation and a lack of identity. So that person often gets trapped in negative groups and he or she take on their identities. They feel comfortable in a group of negative people. They can all share their negativities together, share their pain. That's what happens. Like spirits attract spirits. It's like religious spirits. Like religious people will be... A religious person will walk into a room like this and they'll end up sitting next to someone with a religious spirit. Spirits attract spirits. Same here. And so they end up congregating in a group of people and they're all the same. Negative, hurting, depressed. Ugh. Get me out of here. So we see God as a result of that. I'm not saying it's like that here, by the way. We see God as the big cop in the sky with a big stick, watching to make sure that you obey the Christian rules. Make sure you obey the Christian rules. Be nice. Be in church. Dress right. Say the right words. Get to the right meetings. What a load of rubbish. So out of that, it's very hard to develop a relationship with God that's loving and free and real and life-changing, and have a life that you want to share with someone else, and you can say, look what God's done for me. You know, I'd love you to experience this. Yeah, this is really good stuff. Why don't you experience what God's done in my life? So this kind of relationship, this kind of father, can shape our idea of God, who only seems to be interested in the rules. The next one is the abusive father. The father who often seems angry. He inflicts physical, emotional, verbal, and sexual abuse, some or all of those, on family members. He creates great inner pain, fear, and insecurity in our relationship with our father. And so when we come in, or he comes in, the first question is he in a good mood? Is he angry? Has he been drinking? Is he sober? What's he going to do tonight? And in that environment, children will often grow up to believe it's their fault. It's my fault. He talked to victims of sexual abuse. It was my fault. My fault. And so it's very hard to relax in a home like that. And we're always aware of this dark, charged atmosphere around us when Dad's around. And we may feel guilt and shame and a sense of worthlessness. We may even shut down. And as a result of living in that environment, many will turn to counterfeit affections for love, to dull the pain, and to the pain and the fear that are constant factors in their lives. They'll get into relationships they shouldn't get into. They'll get into drug addiction. They'll get into alcohol. Counterfeit affection. And in terms of God, they may feel unsure of the relationship, or that getting near to him, that's the father, means being punished. Getting near to Dad means I'm going to be punished. Deep down, they become afraid of God. That he's angry with us. And we feel like we've done something wrong, especially if we don't feel his love. Or we may feel very angry, as many have said to me. I'm so angry with God. Where was he when this happened? Why didn't he protect me? So we may be angry with God because of our father's abuse. And it's often very hard for people like that to relate to spiritual authority in the church. People like that go into a cycle that I'm sure others have talked about, of shame, fear, control. Shame. I'm ashamed of what happened to me. I don't want anyone to find out, fear. And so I'm going to control my environment. I'm going to control everything. No one's ever going to find out. But so they don't find out, I'm going to control everything. So we get into a shame, fear, control cycle. There'll be people in this room. I tell you what, it's very hard work. It wears you out. And the devil loves it. And today's an opportunity to break that cycle of shame, fear, and control. Because the devil keeps you in there. The enemy keeps you in there. It's like a never, ever ending cycle. But once it's broken, all we have to do in Jesus' name is break shame. Just break shame. Because if there's abuse involved, it wasn't your fault. The perpetrator told you it was, and you feel ashamed. It wasn't your fault. We break shame in Jesus' name. You don't have to worry about fear anymore. You don't have to control your environment anymore. And life's a lot more easy to live. There's a lot more joy. There's a lot more rest. There's a lot more peace. Wow. Sounds good, doesn't it? The last one is the good father. I had a good father. This father unconditionally pours out affirmation and love and encouragement in concrete ways. Even in the midst of discipline, he is proud of you. And he initiates relationship. Affirmation is spoken and given. Hugs, kisses, touch, gifts, reassurances, and encouragement. Good dads are great dads. Even in discipline, there's love. A good father speaks openly about how much they love you, about your value, your identity, your purpose. He promotes you openly and is proud of you. Look, this is my son. This is my son. My son, my dad used to say, this is my son. He's a great violinist. Come on, son, get the violin out and play it for them. Not again, Dad. Not again. Our good dads are proud of their kids. God said to his son, "You're my son, whom I love and with whom I am very well pleased." You know he's saying that over you today. You're my son, for the women and the men. If we can be the bride of Christ, you can be sons. He's saying over you, "You're my son. I'm so proud of you. I'm so pleased with you." Disregard what anyone else says. Disregard anything anyone else says. Because they actually don't know what they're talking about, or they don't know better. But I am. I am the God of the universe. I am the Creator. I gave you a destiny. I saw you formed in your mother's womb. And when that happened, I gave you this destiny. And it's the best thing. It's the best destiny I could come up with as the creator of the universe. It's brilliant. All you have to do is walk in it. And I love you. And I think you're amazing. Look, why don't we hang out together? That's what he's saying. Why don't we hang out together? Can't wait to sit down with you. Let's just chat about those things. I've got some really good ideas. Do you want to listen? He's your papa. Having a good father means that you have more confidence, a greater ability to risk and to rebound after disappointment or rejection. You more easily connect to the love of God. There are many good fathers, such as mine, but only one perfect father. That's the one we're talking about today. Good fathers pave the way for a healthier, more balanced, and more wholesome life in God. If there's anything you may struggle with in this regard, because your dad was so good, it may be hard to realize that there's even a better dad. Your heavenly papa. Some people have got such great dads, it's like, I don't need anything else. But we do. We still need a heavenly papa. Jesus often spent time with the Father. The Father always had time to spend with Jesus. And so we may have trouble believing that our heavenly Father will be there for us when we need him. But the Father has time for you. We may have trouble believing that he has time for us, but I want to tell you, the Father has time for you. You're that special to him. No one's exempt from that. There are no favorites here. You're all his favorites. You're all his favorites. Latrish, you're his favorite. Fran, you're his favourite. Maureen, you're his favourite. Val, you're his favourite. What's your name?
Ella.
Ella, you're his favourite. You're all his favourites. There's no one who's not his favourite here. You believe it? Do you believe it?
Yes.
You do? Oh, great. God has been with you since the beginning of time. You have his whole attention. Psalm 139 says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know where I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." So before we speak, he knows what we're going to say. "You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" You can't. You can't do that. We think we can. You know, pull the covers up over our head. He can't see me now. Can't do that. Psalm 68 says, "He's a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling." The truth is that God is interested in you. Let him have all your worries and your cares. For he's always thinking about you, and he's watching everything that concerns you. In 1 Peter 5:7 it says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." You've heard all this before. This is not rocket science. But I can tell you that it's more powerful than the fuel that propels a rocket and can change your life. So you don't have to get his attention. He's already listening. He's a God of detail. He cares. Why does the Bible say he knows the numbers of the hairs, the number of hairs you have on your head? He says, "Never will I leave you nor forsake you." He says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." So the Father loves us. Just a little bit. The Father loves us when he feels like it. The Father loves us on a good day. The Father loves us unconditionally, extravagantly and outrageously. Say that after me. The Father loves me unconditionally, extravagantly and outrageously. And he will never leave me nor forsake me. Wow. Is that not an amazing truth? He loved Jesus unconditionally. He said to Jesus, as I said a few minutes ago, as he was coming up after being baptized, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And he says that to everyone here. You. Hey, listen, you guys. You are my beloved sons. I'm thrilled to bits with you. I'm really pleased with you. I love you outrageously. And the truth is that we don't have to strive to measure up. We don't have to try to measure up. He loves us just the way we are. But we live in a performance-oriented society where acceptance is always conditional. If you do this, I will do that. If you pay this, you can have that. If you go there, you can do this. That's the conditional way of the world. His love is unconditional. His love is unconditional. The kingdom of God is an unconditional love. God's promises are conditional, and we must obey them to see blessing, but his love is unconditional. You don't have to wait to experience his love. He says, come as you are. Yeah, but just wait till I've just got to finish. No, come as you are. Yeah, but I'm not very well dressed. Come as you are. Yeah, but what about what happened last week? Come as you are. Yeah, but look, this relationship's not in very good shape. Just come as you are. Yeah, but I just lost my job. Just come as you are. But I haven't cleaned up the house. Just come as you are. Just come as you are. As my namesake says, God loves us just the way we are. But he loves us too much to leave us the way we are. He has so much more. God is slow to anger and delights in being merciful. His authority is not harsh. It is long-suffering and gentle. It's a good papa. Amazing papa. Okay. Got that? That kind of sum it up. Cover some bases. Relate to some stuff. Okay. So what I'd like to do now, I just want to remind you of a couple of things, and then I'll get you to stand and repeat some prayers after me, which are really primarily prayers of forgiveness, and then I'll pray over you, and then we'll have morning tea. However, in the ministry time, if God has spoken to you and it's touched your heart and you would like a revelation of the Father's love and an impartation of the Father's love, Pauline and I will be out the front, and the revelation, the impartation is by way of a hug. So if you want a father's hug or a mother's hug, then we'll be standing out the front. You can. We'd love to hug you if that's what you'd like, but this is not compulsory. Okay, so I want you now to remember the different fathers. There's the absent father, there was the passive father, there was the performance-oriented father, the authoritarian father, the abusive father, and the good father. Everyone in this room will relate to some or all of those. Your fathers will have affected your life slightly, a lot, or profoundly. And who you are today is a result of their fathering. And if there's pain, abuse, hurt, residual injury, our Heavenly Papa is here today to bring healing. You can leave that behind today. So I want you to get in touch with the pain that you've experienced. Whatever came to you, whatever Holy Spirit said as we were talking today, I want you to get in touch with that. Say, God, I feel that. Like, I remember that. But I don't want it anymore. You can say, I don't want to live in that anymore. I want to let that go. I want to be released from that. So if you'd like to stand together, and from your hearts, not your heads, from your hearts, repeat these prayers, or this prayer, after me. It's a profound moment now. Father God, I am standing here today by an act of my will, and I am choosing to forgive my dad and my mum. Now this mostly relates to dads, but I might mention mum here and there. Dad, I forgive you for misrepresenting the Father's heart toward me. I forgive you for not being available to me, for not seeing my needs, for being busy, or not being there at all, for not giving me the attention I needed. I forgive my dad and anyone who misrepresented your love toward me. I forgive my dad for being harsh and impatient. I know that you have done the best you could with what you had, for caring about my obedience but not hearing my heart, for only caring about what things look like. I'm choosing to forgive those who have misrepresented your heart toward me through abuse. Dad, I forgive you for every bit of abuse you leveled at me. I let you go this morning. I give you a free gift. I give you a gift you don't deserve, but I give it freely. I tear up all those IOUs. Father God, I choose this morning to let down my walls. I built them for a reason, and you know that. I invite you, God, to reparent me. I invite you to come and break down every place that wants to perform in me. I invite you to breathe on my heart and on my emotions and my expectations. Father, I ask that you would come supernaturally and move all my wonderful head knowledge about you to being a heart revelation about you. This morning, I want to walk down the path with you. I lay down all my perceptions about you, and I ask you to come and write on the screen of my heart who you really are and how you see me. I want to carry your DNA. I know I have not failed, and you are not angry with me. I give you permission to come close to me. Now I'm going to pray over you. Just stay in an attitude of prayer. Father, I thank you for this awesome group of people standing here today. And I ask that even though their mothers and fathers may have forsaken them, you have never done so. You know our hurts. You know our parents' hurts. You know everything. Lord, in every place, we have made a decision to shut down our emotions because it was easier that way. I ask that you would breathe life on our ability to love and be loved. Breathe life. Breathe life. Father, I ask that you would wrap your arms of love around each person standing. Lord, I will ask that you would take off every lens that we have placed upon you, God, and that you would show each one of us what you are really like. Lord, we know that if you were only interested in our performance, the prodigal son story would read very differently. But there is something within us that still feels driven. And Father, we ask that you would lift off every bit of striving to perform and every bit of trying to earn that which is a free gift. I ask that you would lift off from our hearts and out of our expectations and free us to relate to you as children who are loved by a wonderful Father. Daddy God, I ask that you would come and wrap your arms around each one of these people standing here now. That your healing love would pour over them. Father, I know that you can lift the pain of abuse and restore our hearts. You've done it for so many. I ask, Father, that you would begin that process today. That you would breathe on our hearts. That you would begin to heal the wounds. And that you would begin to restore what a dad is. Father, I ask that each one of them will be able to climb up onto your knee and know what it is to be safe. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're going to put some music on. I know we're running very late. If you want to go off and have coffee, that's fine. We're going to put some music on, and if you'd like a daddy's hug, you'd like an impartation of Father's love, then we stand ready to do that.